pretty much anywhere tonight. We have five texts. You pick the one you like. I want to bring you a little message tonight on things I don't understand. And it's an extensive list, but I've narrowed it down to 10 or 11 little things. The Bible has a lot to say about understanding. And I've taken four or five verses and just kind of lined them up the way I wanted them. You have liberty to do that when you're the preacher. The Bible said in Luke chapter 1, verse 3, having had perfect understanding of all things from the beginning. Now that's Luke, the beloved physician. And he's talking about his understanding of the mysteries of the gospel and all that. And I'm not going to dispute it because it's in the Holy Bible. But boy, that's a heck of a statement. He had perfect understanding of all things from the beginning. Now Isaiah said, Isaiah chapter 29 verse 16, he had no understanding. Because talking about something else, you know, these are not in context. I want you to understand that. I just line them up so that they would kind of present the format that I wanted to use. So, Isaiah 29:16 said he had no understanding. Well, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 16 said, are ye also without understanding? It asked a question. Now, Luke said he had understanding of all things. Isaiah said he didn't have any understanding. And then the Bible asked the question, are you also without understanding? Then Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 said, lean not to your own understanding, all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. So then the Bible warns you about relying on your own understanding of things. Our understanding of things most of the time is skewed because we only see half of the picture and only have part of the information. Then, of course, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 45, the Bible said, then opened he their understanding. To get real understanding and to get it right and to get the kind that you can depend on, you need to get it from God. Amen? Well, I was thinking about all those things and I thought, you know, Lord, I got saved when I was 27. I started reading the Bible. After I'd been saved about a year, I knew everything. I had perfect understanding. In the first 4 or 5 years, Brother DeCastle was talking about the first 5 years you saved last night. I thought, yep, that's the honest truth, man. Somebody said one time, a Christian is bigger at birth, is the only animal in the world that's bigger at birth than any other time. And that's the truth. We do get puffed up them first 3 or 4 years. Anyway, when I first got saved, I knew everything. After about 5 or 6 years, I began to learn I didn't know anything. Amen. Then I worked real hard and studied real hard, and I gleaned some understanding. Problem was, a lot of it was my own understanding. And so God warns us not to lean to our own understanding. And then after years and years and some practical experience and going through some things, God begins to open our understanding. There's an old German proverb that said that too soon we grow old, too late we grow smart. And the Bible said, with all thy getting, get understanding. And the way we understand things when we're 17 or 18, and the way we understand things when we're 30, 35, and the way we understand things when we're 60 and 65 are generally not the same. They are not the same. And in the course of my life, my understanding of things has evolved. And that's how it should be. You should grow older and wiser with the passing of time. Amen? And one of the things I've learned, one of the things I understand is this. I don't understand a lot. There's just any number of things. I could write almost an infinite list of things I don't understand. Don't make a lick of sense to me. I just don't get it. For example, I don't understand why we don't complain and fuss about poor products and poor service. I can't figure that out. You go to a restaurant and sit down, and you spend $20, $25, whatever it is for a steak these days, and it comes out and it's cold, or it's overcooked, or your potatoes won't melt the butter, and the little girl comes by, or maybe the manager comes by, and they said, "How is everything?" And you know what we always say? Fine. Why do we do stupid stuff like that? That's a lot of money to pay for a piece of meat. Amen? You ought to say, "Well, like, young lady, these potatoes are cold. It won't melt my butter. Can I get another potato?" Amen? I hate it when you go into a restaurant and you sit down and you order a meal. And she orders, I order. Mine takes three times as long to fix as hers. So they hold hers till mine's ready. They bring it out. Mine's piping hot and hers is ice cold. Well, the chef needs to learn how to do that. That's what they pay him for. Amen? Amen. If I did my job as sorry as that, they'd fire me. But people are wont to complain. They say, "Well, I don't like to complain. I don't like..." Well, why not? You're paying for it. Get what you paid for. Now, I think you ought to be nice about it and civil. I don't think you ought to be ugly. And the truth is, most of the time, it's not the waitress's fault. But she's the only human contact you got. So if you're going to take it out on anybody, it's got to be her. Amen? Now, what I do, I say, "Would you please go get the manager?" Now, he gets paid to take that abuse. And I don't feel near as bad about fussing him out as I do that poor little waitress who didn't cook it. Or, you know. But all the time I see people and you hear people, they talk about all these bad experiences they had, and the food was lousy, and it was cold, or it was overdone, or they didn't get what they ordered. And they never said a mumbling word. Service is never going to get any better unless somebody stands up and says, "You got to do better than that." Amen. The airline industry, they said the complaints about service and late departures, late arrivals, lost luggage is higher this year than it's ever been in the history of aviation. And people have just, they said, people have just learned to expect it. Why should we do that? We're paying that guy a couple $100 to ride around on his silver bullet. Amen? They make us jump through hoops to get on the stupid thing. Why in the world, if I paid and this is what I'm supposed to get, why do I not say something to somebody when I don't get it? Just folks that won't say nothing just aggravate the living fire out of me. A couple years ago now, I guess it's been 3 years ago, something like that, I had a skin cancer that was a basal cell, and they were going to have to cut it out and sew it up. And so I went down, they were going to do the surgery. So I went down to get it done, and I got down there, and this little lady takes me back in the back, and she said, "Now, Mr. Hensley, you need to get undressed and put on this gown." I said, "Why?" "Well," I said, "you just have to do that." I said, "He's operating on my nose. Why do I need to take my clothes off and put on this stupid gown?" She said, "Well, that's just what we require." She said, "You go ahead and change," and said, "the anesthesiologist will be in just a few minutes." I said, "What anesthesiologist?" "Well, they got to put you to sleep. They're going to do surgery on you." I said, "Lady, I'm not taking my clothes off. I am not putting on that stupid gown. And I'm not going to get put to sleep." She said, "You don't want an anesthesiologist?" I said, "Tell the guy to give me a local. I've had this done a half a dozen times. He'll be through in 10 minutes. She went outside, and I heard her talking. And my wife was in there with me. And we heard her talking to the other nurse. She said, "We got a bad one in here this morning." And so they sent somebody in there. I said, "Lady, I don't need to take my clothes off. I do not need to put on that stupid gown, and I do not need to be put asleep." She said, "Well, that's the way we do it here." I said, "Where's the doctor?" She said, "Around here the doctor calls the shots." I said, "No, ma'am." I was aggravated by then. My wife was trying going, because I was getting a little rabid. And I said, "No, ma'am. I'm the patient. I pay the bill. I'm calling the shots. I thought she was going into cardiac arrest. It was just, oh my soul. You know what they did? They took me in there with my street clothes on. That guy gave me a little shot around, two around there. He came in with his little scaffold, did his thing, sent it over and got it tested. Had to come back, take a little more out. Tested that, it was good to go, stitched me up, and I was out there in about 30 minutes. They were going to waste all that time and all that money and put me to all that. I said, I'm not doing that. And they did it my way. Said, I'm saying when stuff doesn't make sense, when you get poor service or poor products, we ought to complain about it. We are paying their salary. It's our money. Why in the world would you even hesitate to say something? Now, I don't think you ought to be ugly. And by the way, I wasn't ugly till right at the end. I was cool, wasn't I? Okay. But we ought to say something. Amen. You go in a restaurant and here's it's busy. Well, there's a couple of things that aggravate the fire out of me. You go to a restaurant on Saturday evening or Friday evening at 6:30, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and here's some guy that's got a new car, and you know what he did right in front of the place? He took two parking places. He parked this way. I don't want to key him. I just want to reach in my pocket and get my keys and right down the side. That just aggravates me. If you want to do that stuff, go park in the parking lot for the Walmart behind you. Anyway, you can see a lot of things aggravate me. A lot of things I don't understand why people do stupid stuff like that. You go in them restaurants and you're in there eating and the place is packed. And here's a couple who's got two little young'uns. And they are up running all over the restaurant. We were in Red Lobster. And they've got this flower bed thing that maybe is this high, about that wide. And this couple was sitting right behind us. And their little boy got up and went over and pulled a chair out and got up in a chair and climbed up in the flower box and was jumping off. You know what Mom and Daddy was doing? They're oblivious. I just want to walk up and say, hey, stupid, that's your little monster over there. Throttle him. Hey, man. See, what'd you do, preacher? You can't insult people and their children because you end up in a fit to fight if you do. I mean, if you mess with my kids, you'd have to fight me. So, I called the waitress over. I said, you need to tell them people over there to take that little monster and glue him to the seat. Velcro him or something. Well, I can't say anything. I said, then go get the manager. He can. I'm paying for dinner too. I'm spending about $50, $60 here, and I don't want to spend it with that little guy crawling under my table, stepping on my shoes, and jumping off the table and going, "Huh!" I'm sick and tired of it. Amen. I don't understand why people put up with it. I don't understand. Now, are we on the same page here? There's just a lot. I bet there's a lot of things you don't understand too, ain't there? Number two. I don't understand, for the life of me, I don't understand why some people think they're owed a living. I just don't understand it. I'm so sick and tired of freeloaders on society. Spending my money. Now, I know a certain couple, and my wife has chewed me out thoroughly for using people's names, so I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm working on it. I'm a good husband. I try to do what I'm told. Yeah. Anyway, I know this couple, and she doesn't work, and he doesn't work much. And they got a couple of young'uns, and you know what? They file their income tax, and they get over $6,000 back. They pay a nickel in. It's called earned income tax credit. Well, the earned income, ladies and gentlemen, is my money. He didn't make any. That's your money that guy's getting. That ain't right. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to get upset about it. It ought to aggravate you. I don't understand that. I don't understand how they can take my money and give it to a guy that didn't work. The Bible said, if any man will not work, neither shall he eat. And I'm telling you, when I was in the Navy, we had this guy that worked in the same department I was. I was an E6, and he was a GS9. I was a teacher, and he was a teacher. This guy was drawing disability. He had a leg issue. I don't know what it was, but he had hurt his leg or something. And he went through the whole process, and he was on disability. He was getting a big, fat disability check, and then he was working 40 hours a week doing exactly what I was doing. But he's disabled. Now that guy could go down to the beach and go surfing. That guy went mountain climbing. He used to go hiking all the time. There was absolutely nothing wrong with that scumbag. Then every 2 years he had to go in and get reevaluated. We always knew when it was coming up because he started carrying that cane. I thought, you miserable. Good for nothing. Phony. Piece of junk. I don't understand why some people think they're entitled to live off the rest of us. I know a fella. Matter of fact, I know two right now. I know two people right now that are drawing disability, and there ain't nothing wrong with them. They just went down and played the game and went and saw the shrinks and this, that, and the other because they were tired of working. They're just lazy. They could work a job just as easy as I do, just as easy as you do. But they went down and whined and cried and complained, and I think to get them to shut up, the government gives them disability. And so now they're sitting around fat-catting it, not working, not hitting a lick at a snake, and getting a big old check every month. That's my money. That's your money. So what's the problem? They think the rest of the world owes them a living. They don't see anything wrong with what they're doing. I don't understand. I don't understand why we're so stupid that we let that kind of stuff go on. Somebody say amen. You can see this is a real spiritual message tonight. I'm going to work that in some if I can. Number three. I don't know why I put this in here. I don't understand for the life of me. I don't understand how grown up white people watch wrestling. I don't get it, man. For one thing, it's the phoniest stuff in the world, and everybody knows it. George Grant, who was the heavyweight tag team champion of the world back in the early 1950s, I asked George one day, I said, did you ever go in and do a wrestling match that you guys did not know beforehand who was going to win? He said, never. It's all planned. It's all programmed. Now, they got this, what is it, TNA or, what is it, Wrestling Federation, World Wrestling Federation, I don't know, WW, whatever it is. Have you seen all the nonsense that goes on? They come out there, the managers fight the referees. The managers slip the guy brass knuckles and chairs to hit the other guy with. And then, and now they got all these sleazy women. I mean, it's just downright obscene what goes on at them wrestling matches. You couldn't take children with pure eyes and a pure conscience and let them watch that wrestling. But man, I know folks that'll fight you over that stuff. We got a little Indian girl that works for us, and she loves it. I mean, she loves wrestling. And I said something about it being all phony. No, it's not. She said, you ought to go down. I said, I seen him hit him with that chair. I just don't know how you can be adult and white and sane and watch wrestling. I can't figure that. I just don't understand that. I'll tell you something else I don't understand. I don't know how anybody could think they're good. I can't figure that out to save my life. That Bible said there's none good but one, and that's God. You know, and I know we use the term sometimes, he's a good man, and I understand that, and there's nothing wrong with that. relatively speaking, in comparison to, some people are what we call good people. But in an absolute sense, I mean, there ain't no good people. What bothers me, what I don't understand is, I've run across some people who believe they're good people. They'll say, well, I'm a good person. And I want to think, who are you lying to? Me or you? If you're lying to me, you're wasting your time because I ain't buying. I've been watching people most of my adult life, and in particular since I got saved. And I'm here to tell you, I never met a good person. I met some folks who are not as bad as others. But I never met a good one. You say, well, I know old so-and-so and they're a good person. You just don't know all about them. You don't know what God knows about them. You don't know what they're hiding and what they're covering up. Amen. You know, we think somebody does one good deed, one good act, they get recognition for it. We conclude them as a good person. The rest of their life may be a disaster. Amen. I don't know how anybody, I cannot for the life of me understand how anybody could look at themselves and know what they think about and analyze their motives and what they do and then conclude that they're a good person. I've almost learned not to analyze my motives because I come out a loser every single time. Amen? Your motive is, why did you do what you did? I heard a girl singing a song this afternoon. She said, I have no motive of profit or anything. And she said, I've just come to talk to you. I think that's the name of the song was, I just came to talk to you, Lord. And she said she didn't have any particular agenda. She wasn't coming to get anything. There was no motive. There was no profit in it. She just wanted to talk. I thought, I wish I could do that. I always want something. I always need something. I don't know how you can, I don't understand people that can deceive themselves into honestly believing that they're good people. The truth is, and I know you hated to hear it, and I hate it myself, but we're not good. The truth is, we are wicked. Matter of fact, the Bible said, as we are as natural brute beast. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He said, we are of them that have no confidence in the flesh. Man, I know lots of folks that they'll just tell you, so now, preacher, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad as them. Well, I know I've done some things I ought not to do, but I've never done this and this and this. Well, it ain't going to get you no trophy, bud. Our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. You know what that means? That means we lie to ourselves about our goodness. That's what that means. It means we have to make ourselves good to a certain level, whatever your comfort zone is, in order to be able to live with yourself. But buddy, if you saw yourself like God sees you, you wouldn't think you were good for 10 seconds. I don't understand this. I'm just venting tonight, y'all. You can have your own list of things you don't understand. I don't understand why people won't speak up when they're asked to speak up. And in this context, you're getting ready to go somewhere. You're getting ready to do something. Or you're getting ready to buy something. Or you're fixing to make some decision. And so you ask the person with you, your husband or your wife or friend or whoever it is, if we're going to go so-and-so, is that okay with you? Yeah, I don't care what everybody else wants to do. And then they sit around, I really didn't want to go there. Everybody knows I hate that place. I don't know why we had to go there, Bob. Well, why didn't you say so? I mean, if you're not going to speak up, then shut up. Amen. If you don't agree with the decision, if you don't want to go there, if you don't want to eat that or whatever it is, and you're asked, and you say, whatever, if anybody else wants to do that, it's fine with me. I don't have a preference. Then don't whine. Don't cry. Keep your mouth shut. Amen? Why do we do that? Well, you know, I was just trying to get along. No, I think there's more to it than that. Because you're going to sit around and fuss and whine and cry about it and make everybody miserable. I could name a certain person who is closely related to me. We were down in Tennessee a few years ago on vacation. And we were discussing going to see this program or whatever. And this individual said, whatever everybody else wants to do is fine with me. Are you sure? Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. I have no preference. Okay, then we'll do this. Then the whole time. And what's the matter with you? Nothing. He's lying like a dog, you know. Are you upset? No. What makes you think that? What'd you ask that for? Might have been your tone of voice. You didn't want to come here? Everybody knows I don't like this. Well, if we'd known it, we wouldn't have suggested it, you know. You should have said something. Well, it doesn't make any difference to me. It really looks like it don't make any difference to you. You made everybody else in the whole group miserable showing your fanny, you know. It would have been a whole lot simpler if you had just said so to start with. I don't understand people doing that kind of stuff. I'll tell you something else I don't understand. I don't understand why we don't always give God our best. He deserves it. He's entitled to it. You're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do with all thy might. Right? Is God do our best just on special occasions? Is God entitled to our best just under certain circumstances? God entitled to more on Sunday morning than He is on Sunday night? I don't understand. I don't get it. Now, I've got the same problem with the flesh you've got. And my flesh always likes taking the easy way. Amen. I don't know anybody that doesn't. People say, well, you know, some things are tough and sometimes you just got to do the hard stuff. And that's true, you do. But I don't know anybody that likes doing it. I don't know anybody that would choose the hard way if they could do it some other way. I've never seen anybody say, oh, man, I got three options here. This one's easy. That one's a little tougher. This is really, I want this one. I want to make it as hard on myself as I possibly can. Not me, son. If I can do the easy way and it'll suffice, I'll do the easy way. And I bet you, you will too. Amen. Why does God not get our best? Why? Well, most of the time, because catering to the flesh is easier. Amen. That's why. We have to go out of our way a little bit to give God our best. It might cost us a little more. It may take us a little longer. It might be more time consuming. So you know what we do? We just take the easy way. Now, we shouldn't do that. God gave His very best for us. Amen. God has prepared the best there is for us. He is entitled to, He deserves, He has a right to our best all of the time. I don't understand why we don't give it. You know, most of the service we render to the Lord, we do it grudgingly. What a tragedy that is. Should not be that way. I don't understand this. I don't understand for the life of me why old people don't take care of some of their dying business before they die. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? I bet, has anybody here seen families fuss and fight over junk? I mean, it happens all the time. Happens all the time. Do you know a lot of that could have been prevented? if whoever it is that's passing on to the other world would have just taken a few minutes of forethought and taken a little action beforehand. My secretary's dad just died a few weeks ago. And they are having a big brouhaha over daddy's junk. One sister sees it one way and one sister sees it another way. And both of them trying to tell their mama what she ought to do. They said, "Preacher, what do you think?" I said, "Y'all are in your butt out, shut your mouth, let your mama do what she wants to. It's her junk." That's what I think. "Well, daddy wanted me to have that." I said, "Did daddy give it to you? Did daddy write a letter and say, I want Susie Q to have this, that, and the other thing?" "No." I said, "Then shut up and let your mama do what she wants to do. It's hers." Amen. But you know a lot of that could be prevented if whoever's getting ready to check out and go home to glory or wherever. We just get, you know, you get down to a certain point, there's certain things you can't do anymore. Certain things you can't participate anymore. And you've got stuff that you're not ever going to use anymore. But you know what we do? We hang on to it until we take that last breath. If you got something you wanted somebody to have, and the end is in sight, you know you've just got a few days, a few weeks, the end is on, you know, it's on the horizon, you see it, why don't you say, "Call so-and-so for me, will you, and have him come over." And when so-and-so gets over, say, "Bob, I know you've always liked this. And I've always had it on my heart that when I got ready to leave, I was going to make sure you got it. And so before I die, I want you to know I want you to have it, and here it is." Now that means a whole lot more to the person that just got it. "You know, I got so-and-so, and it may be something big, it may be something perfectly trivial, it's immaterial. But oh, whoever's checking out thought about me, had me on their mind, was concerned about me, and wanted me to have it." That makes that thing special. And you know what else it does? It stops all kind of fussing and fighting when the death comes. Amen? And my mama was getting ready to die, and she had cancer. It went to her brain, and she was totally out of it the last few weeks. But several months before she passed, she knew she was going. She had an antique ruby ring that my dad bought for her in a estate sale down in Florida somewhere. And my mom called my wife into her room, and she had that little thing in her hand because she knows my wife loves jewelry. And my mama loved my wife. And she took her by the hand and did like that and put that ring in her hand and said, "I just wanted you to have this." And that's the way it ought to be done. That's the way it ought to be done. My goodness, all the fussing and fighting and turmoil we could stop. All the joy we could give. How good we could feel about ourselves. If there's just some things we could take care of before they have to read the will. Amen? Somebody said, "Where there's a will, there's a family, there's a relative." I don't understand why, and I know bunches of people, and they have hung on to everything they've got until after they took their last breath. And then it was Katie bar the door, and the family was tore apart, sometimes forever. Sometimes they can mend the fences, but it's never the same. But sometimes it just lingers on and on and on and on, and they've hurt and ruined lives and injured people for no reason whatsoever. Except they hung on to their junk way past the time they could use it. Lord, give me grace when it comes time for me to go. If I got any kind of warning in advance, I'm getting rid of everything I've got. When they get ready to read my will, there won't be nothing left. Because I didn't have much to start with. It won't take me long to give it all away. But I don't want nobody fighting over nothing I got. Amen. I went over and had a will made out a few years ago, and I designated everything. And I've changed my mind about a couple, so I'm just going to fix it. But I don't understand why people don't do that. I'll tell you something else. I don't understand why the fish don't bite when I go. I can't figure that out to save my life, man. I've been going fishing my whole life, and I have never caught a big fish. I can go fish and fish and fish and come back and they say, how many did you get? I get nothing. It's so bad, my fishing skills are so poor that when I take my grandchildren fish, I don't even take a pole. I sit and read my Bible. Because I ain't going to catch nothing no way. Why get my hands all stinky? You too, huh? I just never could figure out why the fish don't bite when I go. If Seth Camden can go, and he made me this big, but he always catches more fish than anybody else. I don't understand. I don't think he's right. I don't understand, for the life of me, I don't understand how the church bought into spontaneous generation. You say, well, what is that? Oh, that's another way of saying evolution. Oh, evolution. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Spontaneous generation. That's the way they backdoor that thing. Spontaneous generation means that inanimate material of itself and by itself transformed itself into living matter. Millions of people believe that nonsense. And what's really bad is lots and lots of Christians believe it. We buy theistic evolution and all kind of other stuff. Listen, how can you be a spontaneous generationist when the Bible said in the beginning God created? Now, God may have taken that dead matter, like dirt, and formed Adam out of it, but then He transformed it. It wasn't spontaneous generation. It was God creation. Amen. But boy, we got a whole society that's bought into that, and that includes religious people. Now let me finish with this. See, I did have a couple of serious points in there. For the life of me, I don't understand this. I've been saved 38 years. I've listened to a lot of preaching, been a lot of places, talked to a lot of folks, and for the life of me, I do not understand why anybody would turn down Jesus Christ. Now listen to what I said. I did not say I don't understand how they could. Because I know they can. People do it all the time. People say no to God, the Holy Spirit, all the time. I mean, they do it on a regular basis. So I'm not questioning how they could. I know how they could because God gives us a free will. I know how it can be done. What I don't understand is why they would. Why would anybody in his right mind reject or turn down Jesus Christ? Why would you do that? That makes no sense. If somebody else loved you enough to pay your debt, secure your eternity, suffer all the pain and all the degradation, do it without even consulting you, do it on your behalf, without you even being aware, and then offer to you at absolutely no cost to you, who would turn it down? Everybody I know loves free stuff. My wife ran out of perfume the other day. Me, being the almost perfect husband that I am, noticed that she was out of Estee Lauder. I went down to Belk's and went to the Estee Lauder counter and purchased her a bottle of Estee Lauder for which she was deeply indebted. Always wise to do those things, gentlemen. But I told her, I gave her the perfume. She was tickled and thrilled and she's, oh, that's so sweet. You're so awful. And boy, I've seen that stuff. I love that. You know? And I said, sweetheart, that's not all. The lady told me that on Tuesday they're putting this on sale and that they've got this giveaway thing, this box, and it's got a bag and foundation and some lipsticks. I forget, a whole bunch of stuff in it. And she dated this thing for Tuesday. I said, so you can go down on Tuesday and get a free gift. Son, Tuesday, my Honda was in Bell's parking lot. I didn't think about it for a couple of days, and I finally said, did you ever get down there? Oh, yeah. I didn't even finish the sentence. You knew exactly what I was talking about. She's down there getting them freebies. Amen. And why not? Somebody else bought it and paid for it, and they're going to give it to you. And it's a good thing. Christ bought our salvation. He purchased our eternity. He is enabled and empowered to forgive our sins. He can birth us into the family of God. He and He alone can make us new creatures. And He does it all at His own expense. Why? I don't understand. Why would anybody turn it down? Makes no sense. Who looks a gift horse in the mouth and says no? You know, years and years and years ago, there was a program on the TV called The Millionaire. And some random philanthropist would pick out somebody for reasons known only to himself and give them a cashier's check for $1 million, all taxes and everything paid. They had $1 million, not minus taxes, they had the whole $1 million. Cost them nothing. And it was all that somebody else did it. All they had to do was take it. You know, I watched that program. I never saw anybody turn it down. Everybody took the $1 million. Some of them wasted it. Some of them did good with it. Some of them didn't do so well with it. But they had it. Jesus Christ stands at the door and offers salvation to men and women, boys and girls, all taxes paid. You get the whole thing absolutely free at somebody else's expense. And people will look at that and say, no. Do you understand that? If you can understand that, you're smarter than I am. I can't understand that. I cannot. I just don't understand why anybody would say no to Jesus Christ. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Lord, we thank